It's the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Macintosh. It's the last Mac Show before the Bash. There will be no Mac Show next Friday. So don't be tuning in at 3 o'clock because we'll all be getting ready to get pissed at the curry, which will be starting from 6 o'clock at the Curry House. And then we've got the Bash the following day. And we'll do the Mac Show at the Bash because Don McAllister will be there. Whereas he won't be here next week. So. And we've got him here this week. First time he's been on since Macworld, I reckon. Big Don, how you doing, man?
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm glad you still remember me. You know, I wonder if I can remember how to do this. I'll give it a go. But I'm fine. Yeah, lots of busy times preparing for various trips and whatever. But a nice quiet period now for a couple of months where I'm working at the studio most of the time, except for the Bash next weekend, which is good.
You got to look after the old folks. That's what I reckon.
Well, no. No, it's just I've just come back from just did the Mac Mania trip around the British Isles, which was really good. We had some nice weather and saw some nice sights and met some good people. And it's the usual story. I've got to prepare before I go. I've got to prepare for the stuff while I'm away, and then I'm in catch up mode when I come back. So it's up and down.
So you paid to go on a cruise, and you actually stopped off in Liverpool whilst you were on that cruise, and you went home while the ship was docked in Liverpool to get 8.1.
I did.
You
didn't really know what to do when we got to Liverpool, because obviously I've seen all the sites. But I did a presentation the night before for the people on the cruise to sort of let them know what the local sites were. And then when we actually got into the dock, you know, it was very weird. So what should we do? We said, let's go home. Well, the latest OS 10 and iOS 8 betas were out, and I hadn't been able to download them on the boat. So I said, let's go home. I'll download that and stick a load of washing in the washing machine, and we'll get back. Of course, we had to get back for lunchtime to get our free scuff on the boat, so that was all right. But
can't piss off. No, you can't pass up the free scuff. Jesus.
Well, we didn't have any food in the house anyway, so that was my excuse for going back to the ship. So
forget everything I said about this Belgian beer. It's magic. Next to him, Brian Chaffin.
Hey, how's I'm actually here this time.
Actually here. Actually
I'm
with
actually
video.
Actually here. You can see me and hear me, I think.
And you did your hair as well. Thanks, mate.
Oh yeah.
How you been?
Great. It's been a week. Today is Independence Day here in the States. Nothing personal.
bastard.
Well, we got Kelly Gamont coming in, I think, in a minute. She's our last minute sub, and she's going to even it up so we can have a red coats versus blue coats type thing. And that's not a Butlins reference. You won't get that, Brian. Just, you need to Google Butlins.
But I'll smile politely.
Yeah, red coats and blue coats were Butlins and Pontins, and they were two holiday camps in the UK that always fought it out. But the blue and the red coat thing was just kind of a bit of a coincidence, I think. I haven't seen you since Macworld. Have you been keeping well, sir?
I have been keeping well. I've been keeping well. Yes, been good, busy. Definitely keeping well.
I've got to find a way of playing Triangle next year on the Mac All Star Band, mate.
Well, you just kind of like pull it out of your pocket and.
I've paid me dues doing the camera work. Now I've got to get up with an instrument. I can't play much, but
you just got to start doing it. With Triangle. Triangle carries. It's an amazingly loud instrument.
I will be there.
We actually can't stop you from playing Triangle with the band.
Don't dare me, because I will come up.
Now, you can always use cowbell.
Cowbell.
You never have enough cowbell.
I've got a cowbell. Now, Greeny says I can play piano there, mate. Trust me, I've seen Chris Breen play piano, and I can't play piano. And I've seen you play piano, and you're rather good. But Chris Breen, holy crap.
Chris Breen is,
he's a pro.
The funny thing about the Macworld All-Star Band is that, Chris Breen has been playing professionally for at least 30 years.
Yeah.
And Chuck Latornis was in a wedding band playing professionally. That's how he made his living for 10 years. My business partner, Dave Hamilton, has been playing drums professionally for, 30 years. And Paul has a day band called the House Rockers, Paul Kent. And he plays all the time. He's like, we got these four ringers in the band that, that sort of let me and Bob play along.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing. That's where you can get away with being that good without rehearsing.
Yes.
Bastards.
Well, we get one rehearsal.
Bastards.
Whether or not we need it.
Bastards. Oh, yeah, we get one just to try and make ourselves look amateurish. And last but not least, Greeny, ace piano player who cleared Telford Shopping Centre.
I was professional for 2 years, but most of the time I sort of was booed off or got paid off.
Paid to stop.
I did make my living from it though for 2 years, but I wasn't particularly brilliant at it. I really do a good, very bad Sting impressionist. So if you are looking for a,
does it sound like Alec Guinness?
Well, no, well, I can do that, but if you imagine it's your wedding, right, and you think, oh, I really like a bad Sting impressionist who can play the piano, then I'm your man. We're like BritishMac.com, okay? And I'm cheap. That's the other thing.
I was just going to try and do everything she does is magic in Alec Guinness, but I haven't got the guts. I haven't got the guts. Greeny, when you're here as well, are you coming for the bash?
Yes, absolutely. I'll definitely be there.
Got
and
your
I'm
tickets.
Really, really going to. So the sort of the deal is, I start a new job on Monday, and I really want to come to the Curry. But I can't totally 100% commit because I don't know where I'll be or what I'm doing.
Okay.
But I'm really going to bust a ball to be there for the Curry House as well.
That's right.
Because I want to check this Curry, because you reckon it's the best in the world, which obviously isn't, because my Curry House is the best in the world.
Well, I have to give a claim to AFTA because I think their food is excellent. And I think it will be a close-run thing, but because it's on my doorstep, I have to say it's the best in the world. But it is an extremely good Curry House, too.
Maybe they're equals.
Well, this year, I'm bringing up a piano, and I want you to teach me the chords to that ELO thing that you did the other year when you were down.
Mr. Blue Sky.
Yeah, I want you to teach me the chords for that.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Chris Eschweiler is in the chat room and thanking me for my anniversary, congratulating you for my anniversary, which I forgot this morning.
Uh-oh.
I'm pleased to say that after 17 years, it's my first one to forget, and my wife forgot a couple of years ago. And actually, she forgot the same way that I forgot, because I thought it was tomorrow. I hadn't forgot we were having it, I just forgot it was today. So, she's not here at the moment.
I like how you say that, as if that somehow makes it better.
No, it doesn't make it any better. I agree. I totally get that.
But were you prepared, though? Were you able to just sort of reach into a drawer and pull out an anniversary card, or... were you unprepared?
No, I had to get up at 5:30 this morning and walk to the local newsagents and buy a card. And I came in and gave it to her to try and cover it up. She said, "Where'd you buy this then? I heard the door close this morning."
You and me and you've got a lot in common. And our wedding anniversary was on the 30th of June. And I totally forgot about it as well. And I wondered the next day why I had no phone call from my wife, because I was working in London. And it got to about sort of 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, Christ, I forgot my wedding anniversary. But, I mean, does it matter? I mean, it's only a date, isn't it, after all?
When there's a knife sticking out from your shoulder blades, mate, yeah, that's when you kind of figure the brevity of the situation, definitely. Kelly's joining us in a minute. She's just getting her hair done. So there we go. We'll talk about it. The Week in Mac, what's going on? Well, it's all Rumorville again. We're promising, I'm trying so hard not to do an iPhone 6 rumor. End of September, and iPhone 6 Air apparently are focused up this week, which, Jesus Christ, I don't want to hear about that. iWatch rumors as well. But
I think there's been quite a few of these over the past couple of weeks. And
we're trying hard not to. Let's start with Aperture, because that's the only bit of hard news, if you like, that's definite, is that Aperture has been cancelled, if you like, by Apple. Now, they launched the new photo app, and I guess the reason that Aperture's gone is that the new photo app is doing, and iPhoto is not a million miles away from what the last version of Aperture could do anyway. But, I mean, in the days of Jobs, you'd have been expecting them to come out with something that would be hitting Adobe right between the eyes in terms of editing. But it looks like there's...
Wait, hold on. Well, we got Aperture in the days of Steve Jobs, and it... Apple has under Steve Jobs, Apple never presented a product that would hit Adobe between the eyes. So.
Well, no, I was just thinking that if you were going to cancel Aperture, because Aperture was a hell of a leap forwards from iPhoto before, but now it's not. And in the days of Steve Jobs, you'd see him driving forwards towards editing and attacking Adobe, whereas under Tim Cook, I'm just sitting thinking, is there going to be something else that comes out that does an awful lot more, or are they just going to bank everything with iPhoto? And I think they're probably, sadly, just going to bank everything with iPhoto.
I think they're just going to make it more extensible, aren't they? I mean, dual-edged swords. I mean, I'm not a pro photographer. I'm not even a semi-pro photographer. I'm very much just an iPhone and a couple of snaps now and again. So from my perspective, not having Aperture is no big deal for me, because I'll probably be more than happy with the Photos app, because it will do, from what I've heard, it will do pretty much everything I need a Photos app to do at the minute, you know, the basic editing. But it's the cloud infrastructure that I'm really excited about. The fact that, you know, the master copy would be held in iCloud, and then you can get to it from Photos on the Mac or Photos on iOS. But they're making it extensible. You know, we've seen all these APIs being opened up for iOS 8 so that, you know, developers can actually go in and create their own apps or potentially plugins into, you know, the Photos app to do lots of the advanced stuff that you know, Aperture currently does at the minute. So in some respects, I'm quite optimistic, although I can fully empathize with, you know, the people who've invested in Aperture over the years, and I've been hoping for a new version to come along. You know, they're obviously sort of pretty much upset by the announcement. But from an amateur sort of chap who just you know, plays with Photos, it's no real big deal for me, and I don't think it'll be for most consumers as well. I think it will probably end up the better out of the deal with the cloud-based infrastructure, and, you know, just a decent Photos app that you can get to from anywhere.
But the thing with Apple, right, and I mean this genuinely, Apple have got a great history of cloud computing, haven't they? They're brilliant, really, really good.
Well, they have so recently, they've got a tremendous record of cloud computing.
Well, I totally trust them with putting my photos in their cloud.
Look, if you can deliver and manage a billion apps, or how many it is, to, you know, 700 million devices pretty seamlessly, they're doing okay on cloud. Honestly, all this mobile stuff and...
I mean, you hooked a huge one there, mate.
It's history.
But no, all I'm saying is I'm so confident in the way that Apple have handled their cloud computing. I mean, look at it, like, you know, .Mac, what was the one before that? Or was that .Mac the first
iTools.
One?
That was the old Apple.
And then we got iCloud, and it's just, they've handled it so well that I've got total confidence that I can store my treasured photos of my family growing up on the Apple cloud and know that it's not going to be cancelled any minute. It's brilliant. I love it.
I have a very binary outlook on the Aperture issue. I'm an Aperture user, although I'm certainly not a professional photographer. But Photos is either going to properly replace Aperture or it's not. And we won't know until we see, you know, get a really good look at the feature list. And because of that, I'm not willing to wring my hands and proclaim doom and gloom. If it does not properly replace Aperture, I will at that point begin wringing my hands and screaming and hollering about how Apple has screwed me over or something like that. But until we know, we just don't know.
Well, I mean, my talk at Macworld was about not using iPhoto, not using Aperture, not using Lightroom, not using any of the repository systems that are out there for your camera work, because, and the long and the short of it is, you're totally reliant on them. And one of the slides that I put up to start with was, nothing strikes fear into the heart of a professional other than show, package, contents. Those are the three words that strike fear through and through me. And I go back to shooting transparencies and putting them in wallets and storing them in a file room with a register. And I store all of my stuff. I rename all of my important files, and they have a file structure which I've kept to, which is the basic categories that I shoot for, the company I shoot for, what the type of image is, as in the machine type or that kind of thing, and then what it's doing, whether it's close up, whether it's wide angle, etc. And I've stuck to that structure for as long as I've been doing digital work, and I've never lost images in the process. But I've lost images. I've lost Aperture libraries when I've had to play with them in the past, and Greeny taught me everything I know about Aperture, which was a lot. I have to give him credit because he knew it very well. But after using it for a little while, just as a trial, I quickly realised it wasn't going to be any better than what I currently got using my own file structure and Photoshop, and it still isn't. And I don't think you're going to find, Brian, I will gladly stand corrected, but I think you're going to find that it will fall short of Aperture for you. I mean, iPhoto is not far away from doing it already, but I think you might end up being just a little disappointed. And Greeny makes a great point there, as he's in reverse world, as he always does, that Apple hasn't got a great history. I mean, what was the photo stuff that went? I remember Steve Naber running around a little while ago And he was wringing his hands because he got all of these photos up and he had no way of getting them down from when they closed off the previous system. Not good. Greeny's gone.
No, I'm back. It's in all seriousness. It's Apple has got a terrible history of cloud-based computing, and if this photo app it relies or connects to their rubbishy cloud thing, you're doomed. So the key thing I really would advise that you keep it local, you keep it old school. You know, back your photos up onto your hard drive, because you cannot trust Apple when it comes to like .Mac, iCloud, or whatever the new one's called. And they're just terrible at it. And they've tried again and again, but they never get anywhere. So don't trust them. Keep your photos of your cherished ones, or if it's your business, keep it local onto your Mac or onto your external hard drive, and your Mac and your external hard drive. Because it makes me laugh that they put, you know, over the... So, right, I am a certified Aperture trainer. And all the money they put into it, the reassurance that they gave us that Aperture would be there against Photoshop and it would be there forever, and now they've killed it. It's been ridiculous. So how can you trust software like that? How can you? I mean,
it's got to be if you're gonna, eight years old. Can't. 8 years old, maybe more.
Yeah, something like that. You just can't trust them when it comes to software. And I've been sort of rambling with blooming Final Cut all day. And it's like, for me now, I'm going to go to Avid for video, I should say. And I'm going to go to Adobe for pictures, because I just can't trust Apple anymore, because they keep canceling these products and reinventing new ones. And when they reinvent a new one, they don't put enough time and energy and money into creating them. And they go shit-shaped within sort of a 2 or 3 year period. And I've had it. I've had it. I love their hardware. Mind you, even their operating system is a bit rubbish now, isn't it? I'm hating Mavericks.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely hate it. Crashes on me. I'm trying to work in Photoshop. It keeps crack. And Mail, don't get me started on Mail. Christ, what a load of rubbish that is.
Oh, that's always been a pile of rubbish, though. Mail's always been crap.
Mm,
be fair.
True enough, it has.
At least it's been honest from the beginning. Are you feeling better now, Greeny? You got that off your chest?
Yeah, to be honest, I've had a really bad day with Final Cut Pro. A really bad day with Final Cut Pro. And I've had it. I'm going to Avid.
So Aperture gets it in the neck because Final Cut Pro didn't misbehave. I don't know. I know what you mean, Greeny, but the thing is, as Brian said, until we see what the replacement is, you can't really sort of, you know, and people are considering moving now from Aperture to Lightroom, and... which is fair enough, but I'd say they're not going to just discontinue Aperture. They are going to support migration from Aperture to Photos anyway, so we may as well just hang on and wait and see what happens. You know, see what the replacement for Aperture is, if Photos will actually do it. If not, and that's the point when you probably need to start looking for alternatives.
To be honest, I mean, John, in all honesty, though, over the last sort of 5 years, the applications that get bundled with a Mac are pretty terrible, aren't they?
No, I don't think so. See, the approach they take, and I think they've been very brave in what they've done, and not many other companies would actually do it, is they've started again with lots of applications. Final Cut Pro is a perfect example. I mean, they're basically just, you know, Final Cut 7, I think it was the last version of the old classic Final Cut. They basically just didn't upgrade it. They rewrote Final Cut from scratch, and they took a hell of a beating when they came out, because a lot of the pro features weren't in. And, you know, we're now several point releases later, and most, not all, but most of those pro features are back into Final Cut Pro. And, you know, it's now starting to get some respect in the industry, and people are using it for, you know, for proper video editing. They've done the same with iWork, you know, with Pages and with Numbers. They haven't updated their old apps. They've scrapped them and they've started again from scratch. They've built a new underlying architecture based on cloud, and, you know, they've normalized and made all the file format standard, so there's interoperability between iOS and the Mac. So, you know, there's still not all the features back in. Again, we've seen lots of point releases this year for Pages and all the other iWork applications. They're still not at the point where the other ones had the same functionality, but they're still working on them. So, you know, it's very much... They sort of be taking a strategy of not trying to build on the past, but start again, start fresh with new technologies and build a platform for the future, which is, I think, what they're going to do with the Photos app.
Whatever. Listen, you know I'm talking the truth. It's if you want photos, you go to Adobe. If you want video, you go to Avid.
It depends. If you're a pro level, perhaps. But, you know, for the majority of Apple's customers now who are not pro level, Photos is probably going to be fine. And, yeah, they might have done the dirty on the pro community. But until we know, you know, what Photos is going to actually do for us and what third parties can do with Photos as well, I think that's a really important fact, you know, because it looks as though they are building in some extensibility in both in the OS and with the, you know, the APIs. I don't know. No, we'll have to wait and see.
They've shat on the pros all the way along. I mean, look at their... So we had sort of pro-level server hardware and pro-level server operating system. Forget that. We're going to kill off the hardware. We're going to kill off the
Yeah, you've touched a nerve there because Don loved XServe. Don loved XServe. You've really hit a knot there. Brian's sitting there thinking, is this a Mac show? I came on here thinking this was a Mac show. I thought this was about extolling the virtues of Apple, not giving them a kicking.
No. I get the angst. I totally get the angst. Apple has always known what's best for us, whether or not we agree with it. And this is just, I think, another one of those examples. It's certainly what we saw with Final Cut Pro. It's certainly what we saw with the iMovie reboot. It's there's certainly a good chance we're going to see that with apertures and photos. But I get the angst. I'm just not willing to personally undergo it yet until I know that I have something to be angsty about.
Yeah.
See, the iMovie is a perfect example of, you know, tearing down the old and bringing in the new. And if you look at iMovie now, the old iMovie was terrible compared to the latest iMovie. iMovie now is such a powerful software application for consumer level. It's absolutely brilliant. In fact, sort of semi-pro as well. You can do tons of stuff in iMovie, which you couldn't do with the older version.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in it. There's a lot of glitchy features that are kind of like, I just want my timeline back from FCP because, the things like music, you put a slide in and then you put music in and then the music wraps to the slide. You're like, no, I want to extend the music because then I want to fill it. And like, no, you can't do it that way around. You've got to do it this way around. You're like, oh, for Christ. Whereas the timeline and the snap timeline in FCP is great. I love FCP. I mean, it's my day-to-day activity, and the plugins you can get in for it are just stunning. I've spent a fortune on plugins.
And Logic Pro X has been just a fantastic piece of software.
Totally agree.
It's the exception to the the stumbling blocks that Apple has given us in some of the other software. There was no point with Logic where Apple just yanked everything out and it was completely unusable.
But I think this is an interesting thing there that you mentioned Logic. Logic is one of the things that Apple has kind of done, which kind of outs their process as being illogical, but they do respond. Which, you know, Logic 8 and 9, you had a 2 gig limit. And if you want to make an MP3 from your stuff, it had to make an AIF file first. It couldn't just make an MP3. And if you were over 35, 40 minutes, up to an hour maybe, that would be a file that was bigger than 2 gigs. So it wouldn't make an MP3 from a file because it couldn't make a 2 gig AIF file. And you're like, well, Jesus, you know, you've got to be past wanting to make an AIF file. So just don't make the AIF file. Just give me an MP3 encoder built into Logic. And the way they've solved it isn't to give you an MP3 encoder. It's to actually say, tell you what, we'll blow up the size of the AIF encoder to 8 to 6 gig. There you go, problem solved. You're like, well, okay, that's fine if I want an hour's worth of music, but what if I want 4 hours worth of audio? Now you've given me the same problem again. It's not the solution.
Yeah, but to be fair, if Apple wanted you to have 4 hours worth of video or audio, they'd let you.
But that's what I'm saying. It's Apple's solution to the problem isn't to give you what you need, it's to give you what they want to give you.
Yeah.
Which reinforces what you've just said.
That is the flip side of the benefits of the walled garden.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hello, Kelly. Oh, no, Mike.
Howdy.
Oh, she's on mute. That's all right. We heard she was having mic issues, but now she's just on mute. That's fair enough. you've missed the discussion on Aperture, but that's okay because we're all just sick of it anyway.
Well, I don't really use Aperture, so I wouldn't have had much to contribute anyway. So
you missed nothing. Samsung have brought out, and GlobalFoundries are bringing the new 14 nanometer A9 chips out in 2015. It's Samsung, which shows that there's a certain relationship that has to continue with that company, despite the fact that Samsung are giving out huge anti-Apple battery ads at the moment. With wall huggers, but also that you know the chips are getting more and more powerful in the mobile stuff. And I mean, at the low end, are we going to start seeing unification of the chips? Are you going to start seeing A9s being put into Mac Minis and perhaps the lower end MacBooks?
It could happen. It could happen. This is another one of those areas where I totally understand the hand wringing. I think that. On the PC side, i.e. with the Mac product line, yeah. I think that Apple learned a valuable lesson about the benefits of being with Intel. And I also think that Apple understands the benefits of, rather than trying to have one product fitting everything, and I'm looking at you, Microsoft, Apple has instead allowed its devices to be the best they can be for the purpose to which they were designed. And I don't think they can make an ARM class processor that is both a great desktop processor and a great mobile processor.
Really?
And so I think that we'll continue to see those be separate. Could be wrong, but I think we will.
Do you think there's an opportunity there, though, that because, I mean, I think they lost their drug sale, if you like, in the Mac Mini at $400, £400. You know, that was kind of a real opportunity for them to pull people into the ecosphere and get them hooked. And it would be nice to see one of the mobile chips making it into an Apple box that was, you know, $300 to $400 that you could buy and that would get you back into that drug sale. That's one of the things I was thinking.
Why would that be good? I'm missing that part.
I think Apple have gained significantly because of the fact they've got the iPhone and the iPad, and they've brought people in. But there's still an awful lot of people that I talk to who are kind of like, yeah, I'd love an Apple, but it's just too expensive. And I'm like, well, no, you can get a Mac Mini for £600, and they're kind of like, yeah, but it's still £600, and £600 gets me a lot more Mac iPad laptop. Oh, sorry, Windows laptop, and so on. And I just think, don't necessarily give your low-end product line. Don't necessarily say that the Airs have to have it. But a box that's the size of Apple TV that's got enough crunch in it to, you know, 128 gig of storage, 8 gig of RAM, and one of the harder chipsets so that you can play a lot of the games that are in the store would give you that idea of getting people into OS X. And because I think they've lost out in the fact that the Mac Mini now is not what it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when I first got into Mac, I got in through having a G4 Mac Mini, as most people did, because it was £400, but that was it. I could plug it in with the existing screen and keyboard and mouse that I'd already got and go, wow, this is OS X. Yeah, I love it.
And do you think that price differential that we're seeing today is because Apple is still using Intel chips? Because I don't.
Really? What do you think then?
Well, I mean, what's the cost on the cost? I don't have any numbers to back this up.
No.
I cannot. Mate,
this show's never had anything to back anything up. Besides,
so. Excellent. In that case, I know for a fact that the cost of the chips that are being used in the Mac Mini are not high end chips.
Right.
And I mean, they can't be paying more than, I don't know, I'm guessing $20 a piece for those chips.
Wow.
Let's find out. Let's see what the internet thinks about that. Because
are you saying if you buy the i7, though, you are buying an i7 as well that's a good quality? Or are you saying it's the low i5s that aren't up to it? Or is it all of them?
Yeah, definitely at the start, at the lowest of the low end there is what I meant.
Yeah.
I think that Apple would love to get to sort of give up on the Intel relationship and control their own destiny with the chips. Whether or not that's technically feasible, you know, in the short or medium term, I'm not sure. But, you know, we hear stories about the Mac product lines sort of being delayed by shortage of the Intel chips or by blips in the Intel roadmap. I mean, I'm sure Apple would love to own the full piece and, you know, control the chip manufacturer and chip design as well for the desktop machines. But, and you know, probably we will see that in time, but I just don't know what the timescales will be and what the technical implications of that would be as regards the desktop operating system and the desktop software that we have.
Yeah.
I'm still frantically looking for prices.
Yeah, you keep looking. Kelly, any thoughts?
I'm sure that my $20 price tag is just ridiculous.
We'll get Kelly to talk, and that'll give you loads of time to look.
There you Excellent. Go. I'll just talk until you come to Brian. Well, and this is one of those things that you sort of hear about, you know, in bits and pieces over time. And I remember hearing back in the day when they were in cahoots with Motorola to make the G processors, the G4 and the G5, that there came a point where Motorola was working on other stuff and just wasn't giving the priority to the chip design anymore. And there, apparently based on the rules of the agreement, there wasn't much Apple could do about that. And, you know, they've done the outsourced thing before. I feel like if they wanted to bring it back in-house, they're in a better position now than ever before.
They got money.
If they wanted to, but I don't know if I necessarily see that happening.
It's going to be a coding issue, isn't it, for them? I mean, they're not going to be looking at having to spoof the coding to make it go across two separate chipsets, which they're going to have to do at the point that they swap over until they're all in-house, if you like.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't, because of the crossover and the fact that coding is effectively equal for the mobile chips as it is for the Intel chips now to a certain degree. It's a Cocoa interface change. It just seems that there's that opportunity to give that little item that just gets people a taste. That's all I was thinking, you know, because I think it was a huge benefit to them going back in the day.
Well, there was also the, I think, the very telling description when the iPhone 5S came out and the, you know, the 64-bit chip being desktop class, you know, which I think sort of gives you an indication of the way they are thinking, but it's just a matter of timing, really, I think.
Yeah. But they've stated they're not going to unify those, and I know that Apple stating something means nothing. But they don't appear having, even though they've got the opportunity to unify, they don't seem to have gone down that unification path in any process.
That's deliberate.
Yeah,
Apple will, and this is a sort of an old rumor. Apple will buy ARM. So the ARM processor, the A5, I think. Powers the iPad and the iPhone, and it's getting powerful enough to power the iMac as well now. So, you know, imagine you come to my gypsy tent and you said, "Will, what's the future when it comes to processors?" So here it is: Apple will buy ARM within the next 2 years, and then future iMacs will be powered by ARM processors, and it'll sort of bring everything into line for them, because the ARM processor is a lot better than the Intel or previous to that, the Motorola or previous to that, the IBM chip, and that's just it's fact. So, and Apple have got so much money;
it's not a fact. Bound to buy it. I mean, it's better at what? It's better for doing low power stuff for sure, but it's not better for doing desktop level.
Video encoding.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I suppose the days of having a single chip that did everything have gone. So they're looking for a chip that will power the operating system and power the sort of workaday type stuff. And I'm sure it'll never replace sort of independent graphic processors and maybe other processors that sort of are additions to that. But in the same way they went from PowerPC to Intel, it's going, and they still had independent processors that power the other parts of the way that you work with the Mac. So this is an old rumor, probably 2 years ago, but it's surfacing afresh that Apple are going to buy ARM. So
Can I just a quick piece of advice, Brian? Don't have any conversations with Greeny on a level where you think that he's actually believing anything that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah, fair enough. That was hard for me to watch Brian. I'll try to inject reality into what Will is saying. Aww.
I'm seeing retail pricing for Haswell i5s.
Yep.
At $90 in units of one.
So that's going to be,
you know, you're going to buy 100,000 at a time in your Apple, and you have some of the best price negotiators on the planet. That my $20 price might not be that far off.
Yeah,
that's not my point. Mm-hmm. My point.
No. It wasn't even going back to his point.
They're going to buy ARM. That's my point. They're going to buy.
Why do they need to buy ARM? They can do everything they need to do without buying ARM. But they make their own processors now. They're designing their own processors now.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, you've just been saying that they want to control everything, and if they buy ARM, they've got this fantastic chip that they put into their computers, and they've got total control, and it'll bring the price down, and they've got total control, and it'll integrate with their operating system a lot better.
Forgive my ineptitude or lack of knowledge here, but don't ARM ship out their manufacture though to third party Chinese suppliers who supply to all the others anyway? ARM aren't building it themselves, so there's no production coming in house.
So everybody that's making an ARM processor, including Apple, is able to take that reference design and do what they want with it.
Yeah.
So Apple already has total. I mean, it's why Apple has done so much with the A7 that no one was expecting them to do. They have all that control that they already need.
Yeah. It's a whole system on a chip thing, isn't it? And the they did all the special work for the Touch ID on the chip and stuff like that. So yeah, they've got a big design team in house now, designing all their own chips for the mobile space. It's just they don't have that, or you know, they're still reliant on Intel for the desktop space, but that could change.
Chat rooms wading in. BBC Batwinch wants the BBC / Acorn Computers to come back when Apple take over ARM. That would be fantastic. ARM license their design, don't they? Yes, says Bookery. Apple buying ARM is a rumor going back to at least 2010, says Batwinch. And they already licensed the technology without needing to own ARM, so why would they buy it, says Oz. And Greeny is a gypsy question.
Anybody there correcting my numbers?
No. I think we'll take fact. That's okay.
Oh, I love it.
See that due diligence that you did there, Brian, is way ahead of anything we've done before. that's just like, we're in awe of you at this point. other Apple rumors that Apple auto adjusting security. A patent. They've got a patent that describes a method of adjusting security and other settings for mobile devices based on location of the device. The location data gathered by the system also includes contextual information that helps to identify the phone's position as familiar or unfamiliar on previous records. The system described in the patent is location-sensitive security levels and set profiles for undetected location. Is this kind of linking back into the kind of iBeacon-y type stuff a little bit, as well as just generally making the device more intelligent as to where it goes and how it operates, and using some of your location information?
Yeah, I'm sure there's still lots they can do with location. It's one of the things that they don't really do very much with at the moment, but it's the usual story with patents that, you know, it's just an idea that they've got. There's no guarantee they'll actually bring anything like that to market, but they just need to patent the idea once they've thought of it. But yeah, I'm sure over the next couple of years, location's going to be huge, especially, well, obviously in the mobile space, it's perfect for location-aware apps and services.
Yeah.
It's certainly a very interesting idea, too. The idea of my device being aware of where I am and even who's holding it, and therefore adjusting its own internal security parameters. I mean, that's fantastic. Mm. That is useful. That is useful on the level of Google Now, which to me is the most useful aspect of Android. And that's something that if Apple could actually do that in a way that worked, that would be huge.
See, my thought process on this was, excuse me for wandering into watch rumors, but if you've got a watch, something that's voice activated and voice controlled that would know your own voice pattern, then location-based security becomes critical. and functional then at that point. So like you just said, it knows it's you. It knows it's you that wearing it. It knows it's where it's supposed to be. So they haven't cut off your voice box and taken it away with you and gone somewhere else. So it downgrades the level of security requirement. And then if it sees a change or a difference in the voice patterns that it's receiving, bang, it goes back up to a different security level and says, no, double authentication of some description or something, fingerprint and voice, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's the timing of this patent is almost kind of like, well, if you're going to bring out a watch, that's a good patent to have right about now.
That is a very, that's a very good point. But I honestly think it would be just as useful for any mobile device.
The other thing I was thinking as well is whether the, because we had a conversation last week in your absence, Brian, about the whether the iWatch would sell if it was if it didn't stand alone, and if you are going to tie to that patent, also makes me think that lends itself towards a standalone device, because if it wasn't a standalone device, you'd just have a keying or a password combination where you'd tie it to your phone, and if the two got separated, it would shut down. Well, that patent there would say that this thing wouldn't need to be tied to a phone to have its own security, or be tied to a phone to have its own functionality, so it could operate on its own. And an autonomous watch would be, I think, a leap forward, definitely, that Apple should make.
When was this patent filed?
I don't know. I can't actually see it in the story. The story only came out yesterday from Mac Rumors. December 2012. There we go.
It's quite a way back. A year and a half ago. It could be coming out. Are you sure? It could be coming out on product.
Yeah. See,
this fall. That's possible.
That works. That definitely works. You mark my words. When the watch comes, if it comes, I'd rather have 20 quid with greedy on than buy an arm than buying having a watch come out there.
And all right, I'll do that.
Oh, I'm not having 20 quid on that, dude. Because it never end. It's a no vote, just waiting for a yes. But I just thought that was an interesting pattern, given the iWatch rumors. What's that? What?
I can't remember what the bet was about now. Dan, what was that? Years ago.
Was it about the Thunderbolt being trashed or something?
In a year. Yeah, you owed Don 20 quid.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah, it was definitely to do with how Thunderbolt was a dud, and they were never going to, it wasn't going anywhere.
But you're all right, Grinny, because you've got $20 coming from Carl Swagger on the TV.
I have as well, haven't I?
I'll cancel each other out.
Just pass the marker on to Don, because Don would get the money, because that's the thing, Don's got influence. Don can leverage. Dad Don would be picking up, I'm telling you.
Well, from Don, I'll get the mysterious knocks on the night, won't I?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, these big bruises at the Don. You owe Don money.
Horse's head in the bed, mate. Or in your case, a donkey. The bash is coming up. It's next week. Yay. We've only got a week to go till we're all pissed. This time next week, I'll be picking Steve Neighbour up from the train station, and then we'll be heading over to the Curry House, because the Curry House is the first thing on Friday the 11th. We've got a couple of tickets left. It really is just a couple of tickets. If you'd like to come to the Curry, there's fantastic food there. They do English food as well, Don, if you'd like to come.
It's my wedding anniversary on Friday the 11th. So.
Is it?
It is indeed.
It's my boy's
but I'll be there on the 12th.
Bravo.
So good man, we shall have a celebration. It's my boy's birthday on the 11th, so bring a card for him as well if you come in. And make a fuss of him, because his dad's an arse who booked the bash on his event and forgot his own wedding anniversary. So, I mean, Jesus, I'm bad father this year. But the Curry Night, it's £10 deposit. There's a few tickets left, a couple of tickets left. I mean, we're into single figures here. So if you'd like a Curry ticket, you need to buy it now. £10 deposit gets you your £10 back on the night. So fear not. But it just makes sure that we've got a space for you, because we are limited on the numbers for that. And what's going to happen is we're going to get in there, we're going to have a few beers, and then we're going to sit down to a curry. There's going to be loads of starters and tureens around the room, so you can just get and dibble into those and have a good chit-chat with everyone that's there. And then, in earnest, on the 12th of July, the bash will start. The doors will be open at 10 a.m. so we can set up. If you want to come and help set up, you're more than welcome. But it's the actual proper event starts at 11 o'clock. And it's £25 for a ticket if you'd like to come. That includes everything, though. You're going to get all your food, all your drinks, all the fun and games that we've got. We've got the World Card Cutting Championships again. The Space Hoppers are making a return. We've got sack races and egg and spoon races, as well as I'm going to take a couple of my drones down so you can sit and have a play with those if you really want to. And see how I built them. There's a couple of people saying that they want me to do a drones podcast, but I can't think that I'm going to fill that on my own. but that's the bash next week. And the other thing is, we'll announce it at the bash, there's going to be a bash in Scotland. There's going to be a northern bash as well in December. It's not going to coincide with Greenies do. It's going to be a different date, I guarantee it, because we've liaised with Greeny, said that we want to stay away from his date, and he said, okay, thanks, but I haven't got a date yet. There's a surprise.
So, I don't mind, he can be on the same date.
No, we've just
I'm quite happy to be in the studio on my own. It's fine.
We've tried to steer clear of Greeny's date. So so there will be a Christmas bash, and it'll be a gamer-oriented thing, and it'll be in Scotland, so in just south of Edinburgh. And it should be good fun. So we'll announce that at the bash, and we'll tell you all the details, and we'll put ticket sales up for that as well after these ones are gone. But it'll be a lot cheaper. I think it's only going to be about 10 or something to go, so don't worry about it. But the bash, if you want tickets, get them. They're still there. We've got a few spaces left. Please come and have loads of fun, because it is great. And bring the kids. It's not a geeks day. It's a family fun day. We'll do the Mac show, I think, and we're going to do some variation on the Pocket show, and that's it. Paul Wheatley is talking about doing like a little thing for the kids on how to make up wireframes for iPad apps and iPhone apps, which should be really good. That I've seen his little wireframe thing that he did at Macworld, and the kids are going to really love that, because his pen and paper stuff is really, really good fun. So there should be some stuff. And then next year, we're talking about doing like a little conference-y type thing where we're going to get people to do little sessions, just 20 minutes on a topic. So I'll do one on photography. Maybe Don could do one on something. And Greeny could do one on something. Aperture. Greeny could do one on Aperture.
Yes, I'll do one on Aperture.
That'd be great. There's no more Apple news, really, is there? Is there anything else that anyone wants to talk about that happened in Apple? Because it's crap if you don't do the rumours.
Well, one thing I'd like to bring up there's been a couple of Steve Jobs movies, and only the other night I noticed that the new Steve Jobs movie is available on the Apple TV.
Yes. What do you think to it? I saw it on the plane on the way back from Macworld, so what did you think to it, Greeny?
A bit of a downer, if I'm honest.
It is a slit your wrist movie, isn't it?
It might be sort of an accurate reflection of who he was, but I didn't like it that much.
Which film were we talking about?
The Kutcher one.
Ah.
Yeah, I never made it past the first half hour, I have to say.
What put you off then, Don?
I don't know. I just didn't like the way it was put together. It's
a modern tear down your heroes film.
Yeah, I might have been, but I didn't really get past the university campus, and I had enough bite then, so I thought, nah, life's too short, you know, I'll go and watch something else.
They kind of went over the same, the Pirates of Silicon Valley movie I thought was absolutely excellent, and I really enjoyed that, and they kind of, there was a lot of it was reiterated on that at the start, and I thought, well, I've seen this, I don't... They just thought, I think,
that
because
was
it's got Kutcher, and they were going to get bigger
audience.
That was
for being a cable TV movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I thought Noah Wiley was out and out, the best Jobs choice possible, and why he didn't get picked for the other role is only because Kutcher was going to get more bums on seats. Plain and simple.
Probably.
Although saying that, Kutcher did work very hard at the role. I thought his characterization was very good.
Yeah, and he did speak at Macworld.
Such a huge fan
about
of Steve Jobs too. He was mm-hmm. approaching it from a total fanboy standpoint.
Yeah. I thought he did it. He did a good job in playing it. Whether it's a good film is a different question. But right. Greeny hated it. Don hated it. I thought it was okay, but I didn't. I would rather rave about Pirates of Silicon Valley, definitely.
Or Pirates of the Caribbean. I like Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, I wouldn't. Although Depp's excellent. I watched The Lone Ranger last night, and I've got to say, wasn't impressed with that. Got it on Apple TV. And I thought
most people weren't. So you're in good company.
The Lone Ranger wasn't a dipshit, and that's the problem. Is that dude at the start was a dipshit, and you can't. The Lone Ranger was a man to be scared of, a bloke to be feared in a very crisp blue shirt. It has to be said, but he was. It just wasn't. I even saw the colour one. You see, I didn't see the black and white one. Crisp blue shirt.
Have you seen, what's that hotel one with Bill Murray?
Hotel, Grand Hotel Budapest.
Yeah, fantastic.
Have you seen it?
Yep.
Because I've looked at it, I thought about buying it, and then I thought,
Oh, do it. One of the best films I've seen in years. I would put it in my top 10.
Oh, really? Mind you, oh, okay, your favourite film of all time is with Nell and I, so. Which is good, yeah, don't get me wrong, but it's not, it wouldn't be in my top 10.
Well, I suppose.
Though, I did watch it with you when I was half cut.
Would Nell and I is my favourite film of all time, but I really would check out that film. It's fantastic. It's available for HD on iTunes for, I think, £8.99. Superb. It'll be a great night.
All right. Okay. I might do that. I might get that tonight then. That can be my anniversary night movie.
What?
We don't have sex anymore. We just watch movies together. Yeah. Chat room says Greeny could do a session on making a podcast at the Bash. That would be interesting. They're unique.
Is that a piss take?
He'd show up a month later and be like, here's how.
Brian, Greeny's been podcasting since 2007. He's up to episode 141.
Oh, excellent. That is
that's a record.
Steady. Slow and steady wins the race.
A lot more episodes than I thought.
Greeny looks away. So you can't come and take the piss out of everyone else when you're on a shaky ground as you are, Greeny. Batwitch says, can the adults join in the wireframing stuff if Weekly runs it? Yes, you can. Absolutely no problem. There we go. There's a reference to Darwin there, but I don't get that. Never mind. This podcast and all the others is supported by the Network Union. They're fantastic. They give us the pipe work that gives us all of the live outfeed stuff to you via live stream. They don't give us live stream, they just give us the pipe work. Live stream, we're going to have some serious chats with them, I think, because they're not doing brilliantly at the moment. But the Network Union are. What are they? If you work in IT for a large company and you've got BT, MPLS, WAN, SIP, all of that kind of stuff, then these are the people that can help you. It doesn't matter whether you're a BT client already or not. As long as you can have a BT service, that's all that matters. So get in touch with the Network Union via our sponsors page and then give them your email address. They'll get back in contact with you, have a chat with them, see what they can do for you. But if you are a BT customer, nothing's going to change with your bill. You go direct to BT. It's just the same. You pay everything as it is. What you get is the Network Union is an extra layer of support. They'll help you with your own systems and they'll help you with your connections and contracts with BT. If you're a small, medium business, that's fine. You can still get them. All you've got to have is BT Business Broadband. Either Network Union will organise it for you or you get it yourself. And then, again, the contract stays with BT. The Network Union is just your extra support. They've got loads of cool packages and that kind of stuff. BT Office 365, Everything Everywhere, mobiles included, all of that kind of stuff. And if you're a US listener, normally you'd switch off during this advert because you think it's all UK. No, it's not. Network Union agents for Masergy, who are out of Dallas. So give them a call if you've got MPLS, WAN networks, that kind of stuff, or you're an IT manager in the US, and have a chat with Network Union, see if they can help you with Masergy. They probably can. Thank you very much to Robert and all the people down there at Network Union. They give us an awful lot of support, and they sponsor the Patreon giveaway as well. And we'll do a next week at the Bash, we'll find out who the winner's going to be. We'll put everyone in a hat, and they're going to get an Apple TV. And if we've got it sorted, iSkelter have given us some slate goes. I don't know if that's going to be this month or next month, but we'll definitely give an Apple TV away next week. So thank you very much to them, and thank you also to UK2.net, because we're stuffed without them. They give us unlimited server space, unlimited bandwidth. All the downlinks in the world can go out and nothing will change. Our servers never fall over through load. So if you'd like to support your own business and get yourself a great deal as well, there's tons of offer codes there, all of which work now. We had an email the other day saying that the domain one didn't work, but that's all been rectified. Get yourself down to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and click on the UK2 link and save yourself a fortune with everything that you've got for the web. And they are one of the best firms for after-sales support. They're really, really good. If you get any problems, just send me an email. We'll get it sorted. But they, no one ever does. Everyone writes in saying how good they are. So make sure you use the click through, because even if you just sign into your account, we get kudos for you coming back through our link. So cheers to UK2 as well. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Big Don.
Oh, good. Do I go first?
Do you have a cool thing for us?
Well, I would just like to recommend a free app. It's not normally free, but Day One, which is the journaling app, you can actually now get that free. I think it's only for a limited number of days, so probably the next 4 or 5 days. So if you want Day One on your iPad or your iPhone, nip across now and get it. It's really good. You can get a Mac client as well, and they will all synchronize. The Mac client, I think they've got a special offer on for 30% off at the minute for the Mac client, but it works on its own on your iPad or iPhone. But Day One, very, very good.
What's kind of the thing that really attracts you to it then?
It's just a really nicely put together app. It's very well engineered. It just works really, really well. You can integrate like photos and stuff. There's a new blogging engine now, I think, but that's on the Mac version, whereby you can actually create journal posts and then publish them as a separate thing. But you know, if you just want to keep a diary, and it is really, I know a lot of people intend to keep a diary and never do, but Day One's really good in that it will remind you. I have it set so that on the Mac client it will prompt me twice a day just to create a journal entry. Put that in, goes in, synchronizes across all my devices, and you know, it's nice to look back over the last year or two, see what's been going on.
I've got to say,
but it's not normally free. It's only free this week, so if you want to get it, you best get it straight away.
Good. Dayoneapp.com, and that's one as in O-N-E, not the number. So.
Mm-hmm.
And winner of
it's won all of sorts of awards. Yeah,
app competitions.
It's really nicely put together.
It's one that Brett Terpstra and David Sparks are both partial to. I know David Sparks has a couple of posts about how he uses it, and I think Brett Terpstra has a
scripted tool it, hasn't he? He's got some terminal foo going on, so he can actually use the terminal command line to post things to Day One as well. But for us normal mortals, the UI is really nice.
Yeah.
Pearson in the chat room is bragging about the fact he lives 10 minutes away from where Rolf Harris grew up, which is not a good thing at the moment. I'd keep that one quiet if I were you, mate. Brian, did you know we do the cool thing?
No.
All right, we'll give you a bit more time. We'll come back to you, mate.
No, I've got a cool thing.
He's ready to go. He's ready to go. He's champion
at the
bit.
I've got a game that's been obsessing me.
Chaffin's champion.
Oh.
It's called Lex. It's a word game. It's a word game from a company called Simple Machine. I have not seen a word game in this format, and it's a lot of fun. It is not free. I think it's 99 cents.
I can live with that.
Let me actually get the correct price. This is more of that fact checking that I sometimes do. But it's a fantastic game, and it came out a couple weeks ago. They just rolled out some changes to it that fix some problems that I had. The reason why I hadn't been talking about it before. And so this new version came out this week, and it's a lot of fun. If you'd like word games, this one's a lot of fun.
It looks a wacky old layout.
It is. It's an interesting layout. It's all about timers, and you've got individual timers on each letter. So it's you've got sort of the Scrabble thing going on, but it's not at all anything like Scrabble.
Mm.
And it's just a fun game. I can't stop playing it. I'm playing it right now.
Thanks, mate. I'm playing it right now. That means a lot to me.
I'm completely kidding. I'm not playing it right now. It's a hybrid app too, so you can play it on your iPhone or iPad. And I absolutely love it. 99 cents. Back checking. Yes.
69p. Kelly, what have you got for us, mate?
I actually have an episode of a podcast.
Oh, all right, okay.
Because it was very interesting to me. Over at iMore, they do a show called Debug, and they had an Apple engineer on whose name I'm going to proceed to slaughter. His name is, maybe Brian knows, Nitin Ganatra.
Nope.
And he used to be the director of iOS apps. He worked at Apple for a really long time. He talks about how Copeland completely came apart, and like he started out as developer tech support in System 7. And he went from that all the way up to, I want to say iOS 5 was when he left. And it's a really interesting episode to get to listen to how Copeland came apart for people who remember back that far. And the other thing that was interesting to me about it was just getting to hear somebody from the inside actually talk about it. And some of the stuff that they end up discussing is stuff that you've sort of heard bits and pieces about over the years. And this is from somebody who was, you know, standing in the middle of it the whole time. So it's really interesting. And it's the first episode of three that they got to do with him.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Good one. Greeny, what do you have for us?
Well, right. What? What's the matter with you?
That start always fills me with
paganism or anything like that.
Good, I'm glad to hear it.
Sensible pick.
Go on.
Do you ever get those bloomin' Facebooky things where they say, you know, Jane whatever or Brian whatever wants you to join in with Bejeweled or something like that?
Oh, God, yeah, an instant block.
I hate it. Absolutely hate it. And also, the other ones I hate are violent games. I just cannot play violent games.
Okay.
When you kill people and stuff, I just don't do it. So I like pretty much old school games. So the old school game I would like to recommend is, and it just came out, SimCity 4.
All right.
I love it. It's £13.99. It's available on the App Store. I first started playing SimCity back in the day, probably in the 90s, on my old Scion. It was a sort of black and white chap. And I love it. I love sort of strategy games, and this is perfect. And the graphics are superb. Well, you know, because I'm pretty old school. So for me, they're superb. I absolutely love it. So that you can build castles and you can build communities and you can play with people. And it's a thinking game rather than just one of these kill the monsters or put the jewel there or something like that. And there's no blooming in-app purchases or any of that rubbish. And it's just a great game that you can enjoy on the train or on the tube or whatever, you know, whatever transport you're doing. So I've got two kids, right? And I'm married and I work hard and I'm going backwards and forwards and I look for games that I can play while I'm traveling. And this is the perfect one for me. So you can build the city.
Excellent. I got to say, I found SimCity a bit samey after a while because it always seems to shag you in the same way and there seems to be no way. You never have a game in SimCity where you stay ahead of the catastrophes that it throws your way. You know, you start building more fire departments to get away from the fire problem, and then you get more civil unrest and that kind of stuff. And
have you lived real life?
Well, no, I know, but you'd like some period of sanity and
it's true.
Peace and quiet. It's true. Castle Bromwich hasn't had a riot in as long as I can remember.
Well, I built a butter community.
Why am I not surprised?
A pig community.
You built a pig community?
No, pagan.
Oh, right, okay. I was going to say pigs and the Buddhists, at least the pigs would be safe.
Yeah, no, the pagans and the Buddhists, they get on really well. They have a barbecue and there's no fires because they can't be bothered and they put up their tents and they have a nice sleep and it's really nice. And then you have a bacon sandwich in the morning. Mind you, the Buddhists don't.
No, that's right.
I don't know whether the pagans will.
I feel a new game coming on, pagans versus Buddhists.
Yeah. I think the pagans plants probably versus, will kill a cow.
It's plants versus zombies, but a lot more passive.
The pagans kill a cow in the morning, and the Buddhists sort of try to put out the fire. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's got mileage.
Do you think so?
Was that zombies? The pagan zombies now. My pick is a dead simple little application called Cinematic. Now, it's only 99p, and the top purchase in it is the Starter Cinepack, which you don't actually need, but is actually quite cool at £2.49, and it's not the end of the world. What does this thing do? It makes little tiny movies, and you can post them wherever you want, whether you want them on Instagram or Vine or that kind of stuff. But the thing that's nice about it is it's a simple application to use. There's no kind of having to sit and read the manual, if you like, to get this thing going. It's dead easy, point and shoot, if you like, with your iPhone or your iPad, and it makes great little short movies that you can. You've got to be a bit careful. The editing's not brilliant in it, so as long as you plan out where you want to start and stop your action, you can make quite good little videos with it. And a lot of people with Vine have got really, really inventive with it, but. It's a perfect accompaniment to Instagram video or Vine, and it's cheap, dirt cheap, and dead easy. Go get it. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Well, you can find me across at, rather than going to screencastonline.com, which is the main website, if you want to check out my membership and get access to my video tutorials, you can now go to scofree.com and you'll get a 14-day free trial. So that's a good place to start off. Ooh. scofree.com. You can also see the Screencast Online monthly magazine. The July edition's just come out. That's in newsstand at the minute. And you can always find me across on Twitter as Don McAllister.
I do say this when Don's on, not to kiss ass, but because it's true. If you're a Mac user, especially if you're a new Mac user, you cannot beat signing up for Screencast Online. There is everything on there that you'll need for all the standard available Mac apps that are out there. A lot of free stuff as well. Things like Alfred app is a must-have, and there's a tutorial for Alfred app. Everything that you possibly want is on there. So you must sign up for Screencast Online. It's well worth it.
And the new I'll be doing a ton of new stuff the next couple of months as well for iOS 8 and Yosemite when that comes out. So nose to the grindstone.
Good timing. Timing. Batwitch has got on the net and found tragic suicide in Birmingham Post for Castle Bromwich, where I live. Thanks, mate. I'll look that up. Although, if it's the one that I think it is, I can tell you more about that because our doctor was the one that attended. Mr. Chaffin, where are you, mate?
I am at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. And you can also find me at geektells.com. It's TELLS.
Good man. And playing in the all-star band next year at Mac.
Macworld. Yeah, if we play, I am there.
I have Flight Tracker on at the moment, Skyscanner, and it is checking the prices of flights. And the minute it bottoms out, I'm booking. I'm there. The wife doesn't know yet. I may not be.
Let's just keep it between us. No one will know.
I may be thumbing it back. but I'm definitely coming. There's no way I'm missing that at all. And I'm bringing me cowbell with me as well, Brian. So be prepared. I will be up on stage.
I think I specified triangle.
Yeah. Okay. I'll bring triangle as well then. Yeah, I'll bring my triangle. Actually, what I could do is bring me Clavinova because I can play that reasonably well. Where are you, Ms. Gamont?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can find me hanging out with Brian over at macobserver.com occasionally. And I host the TUAW Talkcast on Sunday nights, usually. Over at TUAW.com.
And thank you so much for answering the bat signal this evening, mate. I do appreciate it, especially on 4th of July. It was superb. Much appreciated.
I rolled out of bed and my phone went off and I went,
Michael Johnson's in deep shit because he was green. He confirmed. Wait till I see him. And Greeny, where are you, sir? New job?
Yes. It starts Monday. So I'll be doing new stuff. I'll be off to Paris. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Working for the frogs, La Grenouille.
I wouldn't like to call them that now. They're my bosses.
No.
I love the French.
Say that for when you're leaving.
So you can find me at buddhistviapagans.com or.
Have you bought it?
I wonder how it'd work out if Buddhists. Mind you, the Buddhists wouldn't fight and the pagans would eat them. So it would be pagans eating Buddhists, wouldn't it? Or not?
Yeah, I mean...
If it's a fight, I think the pagans are going to take it by definition.
Well, I think...
It's Buddhists versus pagans is what you're saying, because the pagans are going to come after the Buddhists as the Buddhists all sit there all like chilling.
No, we do it the other way around. You see, that's exactly the problem. Because you do the at home too, don't you, whereas we don't. The home side is always listed first in the UK. So Liverpool versus Manchester United means that Liverpool are at home, whereas in America, that would be Manchester United at Liverpool. See?
Never knew that.
Yeah, there we go. So they're greeny. That's another headache, because how are you going to do American sales?
Finally get world peace now. We understand this.
No, this is a serious point, because if you're looking for the American market, greeny, and you do Buddhists versus pagans, everyone's going to, well, where the hell's the pagans' home ground? Buddhism, fair enough, we got that. That's China, Japan, no worries. But where the hell's the pagans' home ground? It's not Salisbury anymore, is it? No.
A good part of Europe and Great Britain, I suppose. That's where they were.
Haven't the Buddhists got a strong tradition of looking after themselves, haven't they? Buddhist monks, kung fu karate typey stuff. So I think the pagans could be in deep pup.
But Buddhists would never fight us, I don't think, would they?
Well, you see, that's the other thing as well, is what if the Buddhists pick a counterattack on the solstice? Druids are all stood around naked.
Doing their thing.
Buddhists sneak up on them. Ninja stars, there we go. That's level two right there.
No, Buddhists do not have
summer solstice, naked pagans, Buddhist ninjas and ninja stars. That's level two right there. That's if you get the upgrade. Of course, that's an in-app purchase. Nude druids is an in-app purchase.
So we get all our pagans at Stonehenge and they're doing their bit.
In the solstice. Perfect time for the Buddhists to attack.
And that's when the Buddhists will attack.
It's made for it, isn't it? Yeah. A dawn ambush on the solstice. Druids will never see it coming because they're all looking at the sun. They'll have the sun in their eyes.
I'm going to go with that.
Oh, the other three have switched off.
I'm going to put my money on the...
yeah, we're just spectators at this point, so we'll just let you carry on.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan. We didn't finish where Greeny was. Sorry. Go. Where are you, Greeny?
Oh yeah. I mean, why would you bother?
Well, it's not like he knows.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, where can we get you? Why would
anyone want you? Yes, exactly.
but if just in case you did want to, you can follow me at Twitter, which is British Mac, or you can tune into my very regular podcast at BritishMac.com.
Excellent, very regular. Once a year. Brilliant. Truly brilliant. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get us at BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com if you want to send us any commentary or emails or anything like that. Give us a review in iTunes. Don't forget that one as well. And we'll be at the Bash next week. Curry in 1 week and 2 hours.